People want to know about podcasts while I'm podcasting. That word of mouth is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. You know what else is beautiful? It is beautiful when you find your head coach and the new coach come in and put up 30 the next week. That tell me the issue ain't the players. The issue was the coach. And there's a lot of things that were said about the Raiders. A lot of things were said. But let's not get it twisted. Mark Davis is Al Davis' son. He had had enough. He had felt it took the Aces winning for him to be like, you know what? I can win at everything. I ain't got to put up with this. I don't. So he called a meeting. He had already been talking to the players. Players was like, yeah, this ain't work. This ain't work. I don't know what's going on, but this ain't work. Changes had to be made. And oh, Antonio, listen. I don't know how well he's going to coach. But this week, he coached like a Raider. The practice squad was on the sideline because they Raiders. He gets it. The Raiders are not like New England. New England ain't a family. The Raiders are a dysfunctional family. And that's the way we should be. Man, it felt good. 30. 30 on them Giants. Granted, it was the Giants. I know everybody gonna say something, but we put up 30. I feel bad for Marlo.
First of all, there's absolutely no shot we are using the Giants as the standard. There's no way.
You whoop trash. That's the job. You whoop trash.
I mean, y'all
You
won.
play to win the game.
You whoop trash. That's what you're supposed to
I
do.
mean, yeah, you're supposed to play to win the game. That's a fact. But it's the Giants. They've been skunked in almost all of their games this year. It's been bad. There's no way we use that as the. I mean, I guess I can see where you're coming from. Like, you've been having a rough season yourself, and this is like a stepping stone. We get rid of the coach.
Baby steps, baby steps.
You know, at the end of the day, are y'all gonna be able to win another game?
Baby
Let's
steps.
not talk about playoffs. Playoffs. Don't talk about playoffs. That's my question.
I really, are we still sharing the video? No, that share should be over with. Oh, but it is what it is. It absolutely is what it is. And I am proud that the Raiders are doing well. Because,
As you should, as you should.
oof, it was looking.
It has been a dumpster fire,
We had a coach.
to say the least. This is why coaches, there is no way a coach gets fired halfway through a season and it not be a dumpster fire.
Listen, he has not made it through 2 years at any head coaching job. But I guess that's what happened when you draft Tim Tebow.
I mean, the jury is back. He can't coach. Stop giving him opportunities to be head coach. He should stick with offensive coordinator, you know, special
What up,
teams, whatever. He do not need to be anybody's
what
head
up?
coach.
Oh, Marlo has made it into the stream. Just in time. Oh, it sounds so much better. Beautiful.
Hey, Marlo, how you doing?
I'm so good. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Beautiful.
Hey, can you do me a favor though? I need you to call Baker Mayfield and remind him to never dance on our field again.
Call in numbers. We're gonna have to send you one of them call in numbers, because, sir, we must hear you this week.
Yeah,
I need you on the Wi-Fi, not the cellular service. I need you to get on the Wi-Fi with us.
Sir, it is bleak for them Bucks. It is bleak for them Bucks. And I know I'm a Raider fan. It is what it is. But it is bleak for them Bucks.
I'm not even going to lie. If the Texans would have lost that game, I would have had to find something better to do right now. I would not be podcasting right now. I would have had some excuse, some emergency. Something would have went down to where I wasn't going to be available tonight.
TP?
I'm here. I'm standing up in the paint. We in.
All right, so I'm standing up in the paint. DP, you know the Raiders are 4-5, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Bucs record is?
4-5.
Three and five. I remember a certain podcaster. Was talking about 3-3 and how we not gonna talk about a mediocre team. That's fine. We one game below 500. And compared to the way the season started, we looking up. It's some other teams compared to the way they started. It's looking down. Because this week, they got the Tennessee Titans. Now there's hope for Baker Mayfield and the boys, because the defense might be able to stop the run. There is hope.
It's a big mic when it comes to that, though.
It's hope.
So
we're going to give up 4-7. They pass them. If they running it, they gonna lose.
I understand. I completely understand. Cause this week we got the Jets in prime time. Cause everybody wants to see the Raiders now. And we heal up. And remember when
who is everybody? Who is everybody want to see the Raiders?
I'm sorry. We have a very engaging story. We have a national story. Y'all started out with a national story. Y'all started out with the reclamation project of Baker Mayfield. I believe in your industry, Marlo, you now call Baker Mayfield a demolition project now.
No. No, I don't call Baker Mayfield.
Please.
It's not changed.
This just ain't right. It ain't right. I need to hear Marlo. Marlo, call the 305 number. Call in, check in with the boys. We need to hear you. I know it's painful for you. It is absolutely painful to see me in black on Florida State Miami week after a win, and we playing the Jets. on prime. The Raiders are on prime time more than the Bucks.
You talking like y'all already won.
I'm not talking like that. I'm talking about things are looking up. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Things look up. I am a realist now.
Okay, when that happened?
The things are looking. I've been saying all season, our defense been defensive. It's been the offense. And who would have thought that we had a dude that can actually complete passes downfield? Oh, wait. Yeah, that was preseason. Yeah, he led the league in passing the preseason. But that was preseason. That don't really matter. That ain't nothing. He turned the ball over in preseason. But that was preseason. It didn't really matter. He played with Jimmy Garoppolo when he was injured. He threw an interception at the end of the game. Crucial mistake. Okay, you don't want to play him no more because you Josh McDaniels and you the quarterback guru, which I'm still trying to figure out which quarterback he made because I know you ain't make Tom Brady. And quite frankly,
fuck Tom Brady.
If we know you ain't make Tom Brady, come on, man. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? So, the Raiders is a national story now. Two times on Monday night. We never had that happen. Well, we ain't had that happen in a long, long time. I don't think we had that happen since Bo. Two times national TV on Monday night, and now we prime time this week. You know, things are looking up. Things are looking up. In other news, quarterbacking in the NFL is at an all-time low right now. I can't name you a good quarterback in the NFC South. The AFC East.
Tua. And Josh Allen.
Let's talk about Tua. Let's talk about Tua.
Let's talk about him.
Tua and Tyreek Hill look great. Look great against Bones. They look great against Denver. Oh, they look great against Mr. Neighbor Lady and the Neighbor Lady. They look like barn burners. They got overseas in Germany. I remember a certain Tyreek Hill. Didn't he say the Chief was going to get that work? Didn't he fumble the ball and turn it into a touchdown? I think they gave him the work, or he got worked over. 2,000 yards. That's what he said. That's what he said. He's gonna get 2,000. Who's gonna throw you the ball? Because we know defensive coordinators get film on quarterbacks, and what you can't do is what they're gonna make you do. Tua can't play off schedule. Your first read, your second read. When he gets to the third read, he is ready to get rid of the ball. Now, give him credit. He didn't get injured. He did not get injured. But when he got to that third option, TP, it looked like he was ready to give up. Throw the white flag.
I'll say this. The way that game looked, it was they were never in rhythm early in the game. There was no rhythm. I don't know if it's, you know, the jet lag and playing overseas or, you know, whatever the excuse, you know, that we going with for the day. They didn't look good as a unit. For 3.5 quarters of that game, they did not look good as a unit. I told people what the problem was with the Dolphins. Their problem is They really don't have a passing scheme outside of it being predicated on them being able to run the football. If they cannot run the football, that does not loosen up them safeties to where you can throw it over top. The Broncos couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. They had no chance. That was the worst exhibition of tackling I have ever seen in my entire life. I've watched NFL football for the better part of 36 years. That was the worst tackling I have ever seen. Now, translate that. When you are able to stop the run without bringing eight players into the box, that puts more stress on the passing game to be able to decipher coverages, to be able to get the ball over top. And what we learned from Tua is he really can't make a read outside of hike it, fake it, throw it. That's his scheme. Chris Jones is the best run stopping defensive tackle in the NFL. What did y'all think was gonna happen? Who thought that Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle was about to have a field day? No, it don't work like that. The Chiefs are built to beat teams that try to run up the middle. Now we look into we take into account that the Dolphins lost Devon Akane for the year. They were a different team before he got injured. Now, if you're depending on Raheem Mostert, there's a reason Raheem Mostert has been on nine teams in his NFL career. He's not a true number one running back. That's why they drafted Devon Akane. He gets hurt, Mostert. Now you're back up to the number one guy. He wasn't able to run the ball. He can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. They can't throw the ball. They lose the game. That is how football works in a nutshell.
I am so proud. It was going to be so for me. It's a shame that a division rival won a game. But I'm okay with football being what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be football. All this cutesy, this was no power run game. This is a cutesy, let's pull some guys, let's do some reverses. This was cutesy running the football. This was Yale football by the Yale graduate. Let me tell you something about football. Football is a lot of things. Football ain't rocket science. Want to know how I know? Because there's a quarterback in Minnesota that showed up with zero reps and won a football game. And he's
That man,
not rocket science. Y'all gotta understand something. Y'all gotta understand something. I'm a programmer, right? Football ain't that hard to understand. It has some very distinct rules. Those distinct rules is violence, and sometimes shit happens.
hey, don't forget controlled chaos.
Control chaos. That is beautiful. Because, as one Raider great said it, you just want to run into a man's face over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's football. The Minnesota Vikings got Josh Dobbs on what, Tuesday? The backup quarterback got hurt on Sunday. He was in what, the end of the first quarter, the middle of the second quarter. He was telling the offensive lineman, "Hey, this is my cadence. This get used to this because this is my cadence." And they was drawing up plays on the sideline.
Backyard football at its greatest.
I'm not.
Hey, Josh McDaniels. While you sitting at home without a job, Don't be sitting there trying to reinvent the wheel because it hasn't worked. Your problem is you come in with these new schemes and the new concepts. And look, football is football. You want to talk about some of the great coaches of our, you know, of our lifetime or of history. Look at Vince Lombardi. He won Super Bowls with the most basic of concepts, but he instilled discipline and fundamentals into his players. That is all you need to win football game, and they better have some heart. But if your coach ain't got heart, how do you expect your players to have heart? There's a certain passion that you got to play this game with. Like when I say control chaos, let's think back to Ray Lewis. How did he play the game? With reckless abandon, but it was controlled. He was where he was supposed to be. He's not out there thinking. See, when you start thinking on the football field, you already fucked up. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Joshua Dobbs, big ups to him, man, because it's not an easy thing to step onto an NFL field and win a game, let alone to step on the NFL field after only being on the team for a couple days and win a game. There, you know, this is, you know, we taking it to the extreme at this point. There was no practice. This was flag football, but with pads on.
Run that post corner.
Get it to you. Right. But it worked. This was flag football with pads. And, you know, we don't see it enough where players are playing so loose. Because there's always something to lose. He ain't got shit to lose.
13 in 1 year.
You seen a man that went out there that literally ain't got shit to lose. Oh, and mind you, his fallback career is an astronaut. Don't think that he's some idiot that just stepped on a football field. No, this guy has actual intelligence. So for him to be able to decipher things in real time just shows a testament to his ability. And this might propel him to another level, or he might be back to the Joshua Dobbs that got cut by two different teams this year. We don't know. But what I saw this past weekend was great. It was great for football.
Man, this was a grand old weekend for pro football. Like, first off, NFL. Fuck you for making me get up on a Sunday morning at 9:20 in the morning to watch a football game. That being said, you got what you wanted. You wanted your high-flying, cutesy offense to try and do something, and they ain't do nothing against a excuse me, y'all. Patrick Mahomes ain't even hit his stride yet.
It's crazy you complaining about 9 a.m. Folks on the West Coast had to be up at 6, and it's 10 every week for them. You complain about 9 a.m. Stop it. I'm not going to let you get away with it. Nope.
But I'm
Stop just, it. Stop. You complain about your 9 a.m.
They leave the club, lay down for an hour. They got to get up and watch a football game.
Not everybody on the West Coast goes to the club every night. We talk about the whole West Coast. We talk about the Mormons up in Utah. Like, everybody ain't at the club till 6 in the morning.
You're making it worse. They in the church like, all right, Pastor, now. You got like 10 minutes. I'm going to bail on you.
Oh, I ain't going to lie. I've went to church on the West Coast. I was thoroughly disappointed that I didn't get home until 12 o'clock. It's the third quarter. I missed most of all the games. I was like, man, I'm about to start rethinking this whole religion thing. Like, Is it worth missing football every week? You be sitting there, hey, Pastor, wrap it up. He want to bring in the apostles, and I'm ready to go.
I ain't gonna look at my watch too many more times. I'm just gonna get up, like. But.
You want to backhand the person in front of you talking about say it again, Pastor? No, he already said it.
Oh, Pastor. Yeah. That's when you tap the person on the shoulder with the hymn book. Don't make me hit you with the hymn book. Don't make me hit you with the hymn book. Oh, we're going to hell. Oh. But it was a grand weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We realize that the NFC North is Detroit's to lose, but Green Bay, that Jordan Love situation, I want to give him more time, but ooh.
He was supposedly groomed for this, though, right? That was the plan. Kind of like when Brett Favre was supposed to be grooming Aaron Rodgers, but in both of these situations, the quarterback on his way out didn't really groom his replacement. There's no grooming in that situation. And I think that's a pride thing for some guys. They can't accept to look at their replacement in the face and help them out.
I would, more than anything, love to see a black quarterback as well in Green Bay. And maybe he need more time, because let's just be honest, Aaron Rodgers was not grooming him.
No, he wasn't. There's no shot. There's no shot.
It is rare for me to give Aaron Rodgers a break, but who was Aaron Rodgers' role model?
The guy sending
negative pictures to reporters. No,
I was trying to figure out a tasteful way of saying it. A tasteful way of saying something that's untasteful. You know, it's kind of a conundrum. Like, think about that for a second. It's kind of a conundrum.
I know.
But yeah, that was who we had to look up to. And let's face it, Brett Favre's playstyle ain't something I would ever model my playstyle after. He's one of those guys that did it because he could. That's like me. That's like Peyton Manning going out there like, yeah, I'm about to play like Michael Vick. No, there's physical limitations. And if you don't understand that, then you don't understand football.
Brett Favre had an arm that, yes, he probably could fit it in a tiny, tiny hole between 40. And a lot of times he couldn't. But because 2 out of 8 times he could, he was going to do it.
Right.
He was.
Unpopular opinion. Josh Allen is this generation's Brett Favre. Who leads the league in interceptions for the past 6 years? Don't worry. I'll wait. And then I'll answer it for you. It's Josh Allen. But this is the same person that we rank as a top 5 quarterback in the league. But he leads the league in interceptions. Oh, because he's top 5 in touchdowns. That sounds a lot like Brett Favre.
I will agree with you. The difference is that Brett Favre had a Mike Holmgren that would reel his ass in. Hey, chill out. Run 3 times. Then we're going to talk. Because you done threw 2 interceptions back to back. And you trying to throw a third. Oh, man. Okay.
But that's how he played the game. He played it loose. He's a gunslinger. Josh Allen plays the same way. He's letting it rip. You watched that game the other day. They were down. And then he just started letting them rip. And Stephon Diggs cannot be covered. He's lucky to have a Stephon Diggs, honestly, because Stephon Diggs has not been covered since he came in the NFL.
Stephon Diggs is, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
He is sick of Josh Allen.
But Josh Allen gets him the ball. They get in this situation where if they're losing, Stephon Diggs know he's going to get the ball because Josh Allen going to just start forcing it to him. And the bad thing is that's when good things happen. Just throw it to 14 and he'll be all right from the jump.
Play football. I promise you this is not how you play football. You play football a lot of ways. This is not it. And unfortunately, it's about to get cold in Buffalo. and they don't have a running game, and that's the Achilles heel. Like, in my lifetime, I never thought I would say Buffalo has no running game because we were so used to Thurman Thomas for so long. Then they had Thurman Thomas, they had Beast Mode, they've had running backs.
Sean McCoy,
they've had running backs. Now they got a quarterback and they don't have a running back.
Let me tell you what they. Look, I would be remiss. Buffalo don't need a home playoff game. They need to go on the road three times, somewhere south, somewhere warm. And they'll have a chance. Because every time they have a home playoff game and it starts snowing, guess what? They lose.
Because they cannot run the football.
Yeah, you can't. I don't care how good your quarterback is. When it starts snowing, that ball is hard. This is science. I don't care who's throwing it. That ball is hard. It is not easy to catch. It doesn't travel well. There's a lot of things going on in the snow and in the cold. Even Tom Brady knew that he needed to hand the ball off to get to Super Bowls.
Do you remember that game when it was like, what, 9-6? And New England didn't throw the ball at all?
With Tom Brady. Because even Bill Belichick understands it is not easy to throw an ice cold ball. You are throwing rocks. You're literally throwing rocks.
That make Tom Brady the GOAT because he was smart enough.
Fuck Tom Brady.
The game. Or does it make him, you know, just a little bit above the rest? When you take one for the team as the greatest quarterback ever.
Did he take one for the team, though?
I think so. They still won.
I don't know if that's considered taking one for the team. I think that was just,
I am disappointed that my Lord and Savior did not allow me to win the Powerball so I can hire the Marching 100 to march up and down Tom Brady's.
Not put that on my guy. He blew your heart.
I told him what
that's why you ain't hit no damn problem.
I ain't like the rest of y'all. I don't lie when I pray to God. I tell God the truth. When I get this money, it's a few things you need to know that I'm going to do that ain't necessarily the nicest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I ain't win that.
And all God said was, heard. You're not going to do that.
But I didn't need to.
But Marlo, we know what it is. Hurt people, hurt people.
That is so true. Hurt people, hurt people. He needs some hugs right now because for you want to hire a marching band to go up and down a municipal street when it is not a parade schedule. Like, you finna go get parade permits and everything.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Hurt
That's
people,
way
hurt
too much. You're doing too much.
Listen, sometimes you got to be honest with yourself.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know who I am. I am not trying to be nobody else.
That's right, Troy. Be your vindictive self. You be him. You be that guy.
You know, I think we all have roles on this podcast, and Troy has etched out a defining role for himself.
Absolutely.
He is that guy. If every dynamic trio had a that guy, you would be our that guy.
Not to point out the obvious, but it was a few weeks ago where somebody traded roles with me at the mention. At the mention. Damn you. Understand. Love family.
First of all, we gonna set this record straight, sir. I did not Trey Rowe, I only stated with emphasis how I feel about my university. And if anybody want to get, like, I'm that kid in the playground who playing with everybody, sharing his toys, but you better not touch my sister. He damn sure better not touch somebody, some candy me. It's on. From that point on, moving forward, it is on. So we can hug, or you can kiss these hands. It's just that cut and dry. We gonna either hug it out, or you can kiss these hands. So you got to be very mindful of how you address certain topics when it comes to me and my fandom.
Oh, God.
I'm unapologetic about that.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure we got that out there. It is that week. And if you follow me on Twitter, I go out looking for fights when it's rivalry week. Rivalry week.
I go out. You that kid who play kickball with combat boots on. Y'all picking on Miami like this is a fair fight. First of all, when your head coach could be borderline slow, it is not a fair fight, sir. It starts from the top. And he has proven all season. If he didn't have the athletes that he has on his team, Miami probably not would have won a game.
I want to say again, emphatically, that I may owe Coach Mike Norvell an apology. He has exceeded his third year expectation. Like, exceeded.
He showed better, or you probably going to try to add 100 marks down his street. Don't root for my team. Shit.
I mean, honestly, Florida State has the easiest route to the playoffs. If you look at every other team in the country, y'all fuck this up.
Oh my God.
It's Norvell's fault.
This dude is going to go, the gasket he is going to blow. Oh my God. This dude is. He gonna be
house up and
stuff.
Hey, but Marlo, you know what I realized this past weekend? You know, after all the games had concluded, all three of our teams have a combined record of 27-2. It's crazy because every single one of the NFL teams we root for has more than two losses. Like, what kind of world are we living in? Hey, just cancel football on Sunday and just watch college football at this point.
Watch college football. And FAMU is hosting the SWAC Championship December 2nd in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. It is going to be litty in the city. So we running it back. I'm going back.
I am trying to get Mr. Rattler to come on to the podcast. Like, I thought I knew some FAMU history. This man got pictures from 1978. Like, Rick the Rattler is him. So, if you're watching this podcast and you come across Rick the Rattler, Twitter handle, tell him what's up, get all the information, because he is an our story, and if there ever was. Rick the Rattler is him. Definitely trying to get him on the podcast. Real quick podcast note. We were trying to get Liv for Hoops on here. She does. She's a SWAT basketball, SWAT women's basketball analyst. We will get her on here as soon as possible. We will also get a D2 Division II HBCU specialist on here next week. It's gonna be a good week next week. We bet. We got. It sounds better. It feels better. We stronger. We faster. It just, oh man, it just, it feels so much better.
People keep asking if I'm back, and I haven't really had an answer. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
So, but gotta roll on because we gotta talk about what went down in Madison Garden. The New York Knicks played San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs with Wimby not having a great night. And
he pressed it around center.
There are some coaches who don't believe your hype. And they gonna make you be who you say you are. And the Knicks coach was like, no, you're not running around in court free. Wherever you at, somebody putting their hands on you. And every time he got the ball, somebody had their hands on him. He's so slight, you ain't got to control him. Just put your hands on him. And they put their hands on him, and he was like 4 for 29. He shot 29% from the field.
But his agent. His agent should have had him in the gym since the conclusion of his last season he played overseas. He should have been lifting. He should have been drinking protein shake. He should have been doing something. Because the NBA is a very long grueling season. You cannot be that slight and have to bump with like real big men who know you have a height advantage over them. So they're going to cut a tree down. How you cut a tree down? You get low. You get into them.
I think for somebody that tall, we got to, you know, there's another part of science that we got to look at. And it's, if he gets too heavy, is that going to be too much on his ankles and feet?
Well, and everything? You got test subjects. Look at Yao Ming.
Yeah, he didn't last. He didn't last. But
Yao Ming had bone structure problems. We have no information that this kid has that.
We didn't have that information on Yao Ming either. As a Rockets fan, we didn't know any of that. And
when he got his first injury, he got it early too. After he got his first injury, they knew Yao Ming was, and he was going to be injury prone.
Right. But that's something that I think we learned from that situation, because a lot of people don't know this. Yao Ming was over 300 pounds. Just because he's so tall and looks slight, there's still a lot of weight being carried from top to bottom. He was over 300 pounds. That is a lot of weight on your feet, ankles, and knees. Now, Wimby is probably about 80 to 90 pounds lighter than what Yao Ming was. If you want him to start putting on muscle, he has to do it in the right way. And we sometimes forget that this man ain't even 20 years old yet.
19. Haven't even started growing good.
Right.
As far as feeling it.
So he hasn't even grown into his adult body yet. Give him time. That's all I'm going to say. Give him time. But
in the meantime, they're going to keep putting pause on him.
As they should. As they should.
He will be battle-tested. You look at Michael Jordan when he first came into the league. Which the NBA was a different culture back then. They put a pause on Mike.
No, they beat Mike ass. He should have put charges out on Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars because they was literally beating him the fuck up.
They beat his ass.
Gary Payton was putting hands on Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this. Michael Jordan had his worst shoot night ever. Gary Payton followed him everywhere he went on the court. Crazy.
And now you can't do the things that they did back then and get away with it. Can't do that.
Nah, you can't. But Patrick Beverley found another way. Let me just piss you the fuck off.
Oh my God. That dude has he found his niche in basketball, and he is niching the shit out of it.
Let me just piss you off. in a different light to where you can't play mad. There's some sports you can't really play mad. You can play with aggression, like, yeah, oh, I gotta get your ass. But like literally being mad, you can't focus playing basketball. You can't do that.
Unless you built different.
Like, unless your last name is Bryant, I ain't seen too many people that can play.
Yeah. Because Kobe was different. Kobe was that dude. He was like, oh, I hope somebody pissed this dude off. And you, his teammate, please somebody piss this dude off.
It was like the opposite with Kobe Bryant because you didn't want him pissed off. You pissed Kobe off, he finna drop 60. That was the last person on the world you want to piss off. Don't piss off Kobe, please. Just go out there and do your job. Because if you make him mad, he going to make us pay. And it's not going to be one night.
Mike had that dog, too.
Mike definitely had that dog in him. I don't know too many people that did. You're not going to average 36 points a game without having that dog in you in an 82-game season, and you played all 82 games. Never been done before. Never will be done again.
Yeah, he was that, yeah. But yeah, Jit gonna be all right. Hopefully he make it through the season because it's a long season. They're gonna have to probably load manage him. Don't just throw him out there. He ain't never played 82 games. He ain't never did that.
And Pop has him on a restriction because the NBA not playing. Y'all not just gonna be resting just to be resting. Y'all not doing it. We gonna find. What is it, $1 million fine now? Oh yeah, play with us on national TV. Go ahead and pop $1 million. And the NBA needed to do that because there are season ticket holders out there and people who, oh man, I'm gonna save up this money because LeBron coming in town. Oh LeBron, you know what I'm saying? So they had to do that. So he's on it,
but they still finding loopholes around it. The Suns are already doing it.
That's a joke.
You put them on an injury report. How can you verify that these people are actually injured? We about to step into another realm where the NBA is gonna have contracted trainers in every locker room verifying whether or not these people are actually injured.
There's a third party now with injuries on every NBA team. So if you on an injury report, better pass that third party, or the NBA is not just talking about, okay, your first infraction was a couple hundred thousand, 500,000, something like that, then it's $1 million. Then they're talking draft picks at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know you don't want to talk about this dude, but we got to talk about him because he is now playing for the Clippers, and they've lost one of that.
How did I know we was going to take it?
A joke. The Clippers. The Clippers. He's going to play four small forward on the floor. You can put James Harden, a point guard or a two guard or whatever the hell you. He's a small forward.
There was no reason to make this trade. No reason to make this trade. Westbrook was playing well with the Clippers. Forget what happened with the Lakers. Forget all the shit that I said about Russell Westbrook. He was playing well with the Clippers. What happened in the playoffs last year wasn't his fault. Pandemic P showed up.
Don't call him that.
You cannot give yourself a
name. That is pause.
In
pause.
Every single playoffs.
We are not finna. We not finna do that. We not finna call this man Pandemic P. Not on this show.
Yeah, Carmelo and Westbrook with him. A business. He gets to the Clippers. We just gonna forget the whole season that he missed because he hurt. We're gonna forget that. Just let that go. He get in the playoffs last year. And it's Russell Westbrook playing everybody. Playoff P has shown up and decided, you know what? I'm gonna audition for the New York Bricks. Abysmal in the playoffs. And I, oh, he, listen, since that man broke his leg, he been a different dude. Before he broke his leg, he was giving the Heat the business. Now? Kind of suspect. And he said it about Russell Westbrook. I mean, Russell Wilson. We got to ask the question. Is it possible that James Harden plays his way out of the Hall of Fame? Is it possible?
He's putting it in the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, where was he supposed to go to the Hall of Fame?
But they was telling me that, oh, he averaged a triple-double, and he's walking 30, and this, that, that. Yeah, James Harden probably is a walking 30. What are the rest of his teammates going to get? Because after he get done taking 40 shots, the only person that, like, is going to do well is the guy grabbing the rebounds.
The problem with even having Hall of Fame conversation and James Harden in the same breath, his body, you can't be that player that has been on how many teams now? Five teams?
Yeah.
And haven't gotten close to getting a ring. Maybe when he was with Houston, I think that was the closest he got.
Yeah, but we decided to blow a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference semis.
Okay, see, they actually went to the finals.
They went to the finals and lost to they lost to the Heat.
This is my point. That's the closest he got. And he came off the bench, even then. So I don't even understand how he got to the Hall of Fame conversation.
Well, he was a sixth man in OKC. They knew he was the number three, but he was the sixth man. He was, you know, the role he played was they let Seth Alosha come out and play defense, and then he was supposed to come in and just start shooting once Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook got tired. That was their scheme. You know what I mean?
And it worked.
No, it didn't work because you let Russell take too many shots. He should have took more shots, honestly.
It got him to the NBA championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, exploded. They blew it all up.
Damn.
I'm trying not to like lose my shit. James Harden is on the 75 team.
He what?
James Harden is 875. Alex English is not. I remember making
a dude, you and this Alex English thing, you really gotta let that go.
I'm not, you know what? We ain't got time today. I ain't got time. Normally I have time today. I ain't got time. We got stuff to get to. So I'm gonna go ahead and pass. Yeah. So since we on NBA, LeBron says, even if he had not went to Miami, he would still be the player that he is now. For everybody that don't know, LeBron didn't sniff no championship before he got to the Heat.
He did.
He went to a finals, got swept. That was it.
He sniffed a championship. And he sniffed it with Cleveland, who absolutely had nothing.
Okay.
But LeBron.
Saying he would be the player he is today had he not went to Miami.
I'm not saying that. He said it. But I can't say that he wouldn't have been the player because Cleveland would have been an attraction for the same guys that went to damn Miami. Oh, but D Wade, everybody else that went to Miami, they were free agents.
I'm just asking.
They went there because LeBron was there. They didn't go there because D Wade was there.
I think it was kind of like a package deal because Dwayne Wade wasn't too far removed from him winning a championship himself. Like, let's not forget, D Wade won a championship before LeBron James, and he did it without LeBron James.
Correct.
Now Dwayne Wade inviting him to come down to his team was, you know, that's a king move. Like, I understand you the best player in the NBA. I'm willing to share the spotlight, and knowing that you're gonna probably take the spotlight. If it's going to mean championships coming, you know, more championships coming, they end up winning too. So you think about it like this. I don't know if he would have had the same clout in Cleveland. I don't know if the same players would have came up to Cleveland. First of all, Cleveland ain't an attractive city.
It is not.
It is cold. It is ugly. They get the slushy snow. Like, you don't want to go to Cleveland. But Miami? South Beach? Come on now. That's not a hard, you know, that's not a hard selling point.
Not for me. They couldn't ask me to come play.
Right. If I had an option of Cleveland or Miami, where you think I'm going? I'm about to take my talents to South Beach. That's exactly what LeBron James South did. Beach.
How much they say my bonus gonna be?
Right.
Rolling.
But yeah, I don't know if he would have had that same clout up in Cleveland. You know, not at that time, because he was still, you know, on the brink. It was like, we know he the best, but God damn, he can't win.
Shout out to the booby trap.
And I'm not going to lie to y'all. I've never seen a player take off his jersey so fast, as quicker than LeBron James did in his last game in Cleveland before he went to Miami. I've never, like, walking out. He didn't even make it out of the tunnel, and that Cleveland jersey was off his back.
Now, why? We know why.
He's the coach.
You said you never did what?
I've never seen a player take off their jersey faster than I seen LeBron James rip that Cleveland jersey off before he even hit the tunnel. His last game in Cleveland before he went to Miami.
I would have ripped my shit off during the game. Cleveland was trash.
I mean, they went to a finals. They had swept, but they went to a final.
They were trash. LeBron was so tired playing in that series.
Hey, shout out to Greg Popovich. He said, "We don't think LeBron James can shoot. We're gonna turn him into a jump shooter." And they swept the fuck out of him because LeBron James couldn't shoot. Not at that point in his career, he couldn't even shoot a mid-range.
Mm-mm.
They was giving him 17 footers. Yeah, go ahead, Brick. LeBrick James is what they called him in that series.
I would have did the same damn thing.
It's good coaching.
Good coaching. He got to work harder to try to get his shot off. Now you can't let him get out in the open court because he's gonna embarrass him damn body.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a half court?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
No, you slow the game down. You make him play you honest. You make them try to develop some plays, and they took away what he did best, and that was his ability to drive to the basket. And they also eliminated the fast break part of their game. Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, they were really good at not forcing bad shots. And a lot of times, people don't understand the dynamics of taking bad shots. Bad shots leads to transition points. So when you're not taking as many bad shots, you're slowing your opponent's ability down to run up and down the court. Now they have to actually go down there and draw some offense themselves. And that was, that was something that Greg Popovich did in that series that really set the tone. They turned LeBron James into a shooter because they wasn't allowing him to get to the basket. He couldn't get to his spot on the court. They made it very uncomfortable for him. The role players that they had were not that good. They couldn't do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. It was really over before it started because you had three Hall of Famers on that Spurs team. But yeah.
No. It's still early in the NBA season. We definitely gonna get done. But we gonna talk about some college football right now. A game that's important to Florida State. Louisville is beating Virginia 14-0. Louisville had a bad loss. They had a bad loss, but they will probably still play Florida State in the ACC championship game. So there's that. I'll get to this first. Quentin Ewers. Ewers is returning as TCU.
Thank you, Jesus. There is a God.
Ewers is returning against TCU. Now, I am of the mindset that Texas quarterback situation is a blessed quarterback situation. Because you got Ewers, you got a young man in relief who can make some plays. He made some mistakes, but he can make some plays. And I believe it was the spring game. I said, TP, this dude got an arm.
He do.
He gotta go get it on.
No. I'm gonna tell you who this guy is. That is Black Sunshine. We all seen Remember the Titans?
Yep.
You can throw it a mile, but you can't pitch it 2 yards. That's Murphy. Pissing me the fuck off. Oh, he throw the deep ball. Beautiful.
You wanna fight? Well then come on.
Throw it a mile, but you can't pitch it 2 yards. You see it? You throw it. It's right there. You ain't got to zip it in there. Just get it to him. And he let him do the rest. This is what Sarkisian should have been telling Murphy on that sideline, because goddamn, we almost blew that. If the defense didn't hold strong at the end of that, we are looking forward to next season, because with 2 losses, we are eliminated from playoff contention.
Well, it could be worse, TP. I am.
We probably would have got a citrus bowl or some bullshit like that, but I want a championship.
I mean, so Marlo.
Yeah, I want to come to the citrus bowl. We get litty in the city here.
We'll leave the citrus bowl to y'all then. We want to go Tostitos, Fiesta, sugar. Orange.
Interesting. Y'all ain't even Mexican. Y'all might be in Texas, but y'all ain't Mexican.
Yeah, hey, close enough.
You just said a whole guacamole recipe.
Don't forget the avocados.
The avocados.
Junior Will. I think it's Junior Will. Junior. The backup quarterback for Florida A&M is going to start against Lincoln. We'll give the Rattlers a much needed rest before the wanted rivalry game in Orlando for the Classic against that school in Daytona. So it's not a.
What did you say? Against who?
That school in Daytona.
Ain't no damn school in Daytona.
The Alligators.
They just get together and talk about shit. They don't have no real learning in that motherfucking place. Like, are they even accredited? I think we need to check that.
Have you been drinking?
I have not.
I just want to make sure you have been drinking, because you just been all the way in on the HBCU.
No, I didn't. I did not go all the way in on the HBCU. I went all the way in on a school that has a lot of Black people that go there, and they call themselves a school. And I guess historically, the chick that started it, but I haven't called a Piccolo player no motherfucker. I just want to know who called that motherfucker Piccolo player.
Well, TP.
And that's next week. We gonna be dog shit down they leg.
You It's a whole game in between.
No damn game in between playing Lincoln. First of all, Lincoln has not won a game this year. We don't believe in trap games on the highest of Seven Hills. So as soon as this game is out of hand, the band probably going to be suiting up at halftime.
You know what? I'm not going to do it here, but y'all go ahead and Google Texas Southern tuba player punches fan. Y'all better quit messing with them tuba players. Them ain't no little dudes to start with. Secondly, if he carried around a big old sousaphone, don't you think you're a little scrum? Don't run up on tuba players. I'm just saying. I think the dude run up on. But, so the story of the year, because I can't even believe, like, every day I wake up, I imagine Michigan football fans are like just in dire straits. They wake up every day wondering if they're going to actually be able to participate in the playoffs. Because just to set this up, the winning percentage of Michigan before the sign-stealing allegations are not good against the top teams in the conference. After the cheating allegations, they're like, what, 29-3? Starting to look kind of suspect. And I am of the mindset that you got to go beat them people on the field. But you got a coach in Central Michigan gear with recording glasses, by the way. There's a camera. If you look at it, there's a camera with a blue light on in the glasses recording the game against Michigan State. Now, Michigan's response is that, hey, before you come at us, please remember that Michigan State or Rutgers and Ohio State colluded against us in the playoffs. So, before y'all start throwing down a hammer, make sure you get them too.
First of all, Harbaugh gotta have some of the dumbest. You can't go to the games and have all Michigan shit and be recording. Like, y'all ain't even playing. Like, you gotta be. Like, this is one of them here's your signs moment. The only way that they know that Michigan was recording the sideline is because somebody saw somebody in the Michigan gear recording. Like, you can't be that stupid and tell on yourself.
You're leaving out the bar where you use this credit card to buy tickets on StubHub.
Bruh. I know they got some cash around there somewhere.
He should have went to the box office.
Go to the box office. Just go.
Oh, I just. It. Just the level of sports personalities that used to be in Harbaugh's camp that are not. Maybe actually take a look at his story, because Paul Feinbaum, if anybody follows talk radio, Paul Feinbaum, wonderful talk show, very southern talk show that made its way to ESPN. Paul Feinbaum is a Harbaugh hater. With valid reason, but he is a Harbaugh hater. When he stood up and said, you know what? we need to wait before we rush the judgment. I knew he was guilty at that point. I knew he was guilty. I'm when a person that well respected with them many resources, with them many sources that he can pick up the phone and call, when he go, you know what, we should just let the investigation take its time. Because the sign stealing part, that's nothing. Do you know, one, the coach in question also has a corporation with one of the players. Not gonna name that player name, but we don't know if that's true or not. I mean, his name might have been Ford. I'm not gonna. But do you understand if a coach and a player have entered into an agreement to be in business? This is something that the NCAA like to call lack of institutional control, which are followed by words of show cause, which then leads me back to the NFL, because Colin Cowherd, I heard what you said yesterday. Let me go ahead and scrape you right now. We don't need Harbaugh as a Raider. Y'all need to check some clips a couple years ago when they was talking about maybe Harbaugh can come to Florida State. And I was very clear when I said, if I hear by Jim Harbaugh,
he can come to fucking Tampa. Shit, I take him tomorrow. Not only would I take him tomorrow, I help him move. I will drive to Michigan. Drive right now. If he's thinking he coming to Tampa, all he needs is some help moving. I'm finna go load up. I'm taking trundles and everything. He ain't even got to worry about it. He ain't got to pack him nothing. That's all I'm saying. Shit. Talking about y'all want Harbaugh. Y'all coach ain't good.
What? I coach one.
Y'all coach one. My coach sucks. That don't make your coach good.
If we winning, I don't care what he is. He could be
First of all, y'all beat.
I don't care.
Who did y'all beat?
It don't matter. A win.
It matters. If y'all were
you around here playing. You win the game.
You know who didn't win? The Bucks. That's who didn't win.
We didn't. And we didn't win because our coach is dumb. So that's just like saying, oh, your girlfriend ain't pretty.
So I know she ain't. I know our coach dumb. It's the same thing. Judge, tell me something I don't know. When ex-NFL players come out and say, I hate to say this, but they literally said he should not be a head coach in the NFL. These are players. They said he's tried it on two separate teams. I'm not saying nothing that's foreign to people who pay attention. He should not be no goddamn old NFL coach.
I apologize for the fans. I did not start. Man. I was talking about Florida State. It got dark.
No, it didn't get dark. It got real. You talking about something. Y'all don't want him in Florida State. Oh, shit. Let him talk about something. He want to be a Buck. Won't you come? Won't you come?
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? Won't he done it? Won't he done it?
Won't Harbaugh as your head coach. Boy, things are bad in Buckland if you want Harbaugh as your head coach.
First of all, you don't understand my disdain for Todd Bowles right now. So, like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's easy.
I don't think your gripe is with Todd Bowles. I think it's with the GM who decided to bring in Baker Mayfield. I think that's where your real issues are.
Oh, I got a lot to go around. So, yes, Todd Bowles can get it. He can get these. He can get all of it.
Well, then come on.
All of it. He can get all of it. First, if you're going to be the head coach, you better do some goddamn coaching. Don't you be sitting around there. Oh, well, yeah, we're going to go with Baker because Baker. We gonna go with Baker because he got sort of an edge over Trask. We really like Trask, but shut your ass up right now. That dumbass edge shit.
Not Molo, but this is good.
Fucking goddamn Todd Bowles.
Y'all ever seen like it's like a pile of fireworks, right? And then a man runs in, lights it, and then runs the fuck away and just watches. That's me with Marlo. Go ahead and do your thing, homie.
That individual. I'm not, I enjoy watching my team on Sunday. Win, lose, or draw, I'm going to enjoy the game.
That was a good game.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan before it all. Like I play football. I love the game. But when right. when you see some of the dumb ass play calls, like how you leave your strong safety. First of all, they have no timeout. No timeout.
We had one.
Y'all didn't have any timeout.
We had one.
Y'all used them.
We had one timeout. 46 seconds, one timeout.
Y'all don't go 46 seconds, one timeout, 75 yards.
I mean,
how that happened in real life?
Wasn't easy.
You know what? You know what?
You want to fight? Well, then come on.
Look, we just going to call a spade, man. We got the best rookie quarterback in the NFL. We got probably a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. All he told his offensive line was, if you give me enough time, I will make them pay. And that is the true voice of a leader.
The true voice of what a leader don't do. Is y'all going out there. They might run a deep route. They might not. But we just going to play. That's basically what
you kiss my ass quick.
Head coach said.
And then we had some animosity before that drive even started. Y'all out there doing left, right. Y'all dancing in our end zone. Like, all right. All right, keep that same energy for four quarters, big fella. Keep that same motherfucking energy. Mm-hmm. Tell you something, Baker Mayfield fuck around and found out.
That wasn't on Baker.
For all the smoke.
It wasn't just on Baker. But
everything Baker was supposed to do. He went down, found Odin in the end zone, Tutty. All right.
Yeah, but defense. how'd he celebrate, though?
It don't matter. Defense, go win this game. Our defense wasn't paying the fucking attention. They missed the bird call. They missed the bat signal. They missed something because them motherfuckers went out there and played like and the juggernaut.
Do you remember last year in the NBA playoffs when Grant Williams decided he was going to piss off Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Baker Mayfield did to CJ Stroud.
I don't think he even – see, it's, when you got a squad, mm-hmm. like if you got a crew, this is just the thing. This, I don't know if people realize this about us as black people.
Like Sam's through the hourglass.
when you have a squad and the squad know, everybody know their role in the squad, it's easy.
It is.
Because I know it ain't no baddest man hit my hand type shit. It's, oh they want to fight. That hog go out and the fight on. These motherfuckers, the Baker said, hey, y'all, we're swinging over here. And our defense was like, we want to be friends. It was, I ain't never seen a defense lay down as much as my defense did at the end of that game. That was very, very, very disappointing.
For you as a Buccaneers fan, I can understand the disappointment. You know,
we never had a defense that laid down like that.
It would appear that they laid down.
They laid down. It wasn't no appearing.
From where I sat,
it looked like everybody had pillows as bad as they laid down.
From where I sat, I seen my players take this giant step that we've been waiting for them to take because we know the talent that they have. We know the ability that they have to get open. We know CJ Stroud's ability to get them the ball. And I think we finally seen everything culminate into this all-star performance. We had a rookie quarterback who set the all-time rookie record for passing yards, along with 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
You know how
on the season he is 15 touchdowns, 1 interception.
You know how bad of a head coach you got to be. You were undefeated against rookie quarterback.
But this ain't no regular rookie quarterback, is what I'm trying to tell you. This is the thing that you not understanding. This ain't no normal rookie. This is a rookie that understands film, because that's one thing that they'll tell you in the NFL, that over time is you learn how to break down film. You learn how to prepare. He came in knowing how to do that. This is what he does. This is why he is good now. He is ready now. And I seen that early in the draft processes, which is why I wanted CJ Stroud over the Bryce Young and the Will Levis of the world. Like, Will Levis had a good game. Shout out, you know, big ups to him. But no, I wanted CJ Stroud because I knew that he was NFL ready. He ain't no regular rookie quarterback. The NFL ain't seen a rookie quarterback like him before. His stats are on par with some of your MVP candidates from years past. 15-1, halfway through the season, 2,200 yards. Those are MVP numbers. He might be the first rookie quarterback to ever win the Rookie of the Year and MVP.
You slow down there, Jerky.
I ain't slowing down.
You, how you doing? Good. You need to slow down.
Because that last drive against your Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
he let
them nuts hang.
He still flopped that way.
And they hung all the way to their kneecaps.
Yeah. First of all, when you have a seasoned defense. They literally have the same defense that they had last year on the field.
Come on.
You do not give up 470 yards to a rookie. I don't give a shit.
This 5 touchdowns. Don't forget that part.
When I tell you that, remember when I said they got to show some fight? I could not have been at that game.
And we didn't have a kicker.
Ooh, your running back kicking field goal.
Ooh. We got running backs kicking field goals. That was only because we was close enough. We was inside 30 yards.
First of all, every
other time we went for it.
You're not just finna say that. Like, that's just like, as an organization, you should be embarrassed. Tampa Bay, as a whole organization, you should be embarrassed.
As a record label and a staff?
At If you don't want them dancing all in your videos.
Oh, God.
Baker Mayfield dancing all in the videos. You got your little lead. Remember, you on the road, sir. You know, sometimes, you know, our lighter counterparts, they be, you know, forgetting where they at. You know, we call that getting the big head. You better calm down. You better calm down.
It couldn't happen for a better quarterback. It couldn't happen because if Baker would have won that game, Kyle Trask probably would have never been close to getting the opportunity to play this season. But because Baker came back and won that, lost that game, I think Trask is going to get an opportunity.
That's interesting.
I do.
Do you think he should, though?
Absolutely. Do you think you're going to win a playoff game in Everett?
Go back.
Do I think we're going to win a playoff game?
No. I'm talking about my quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Do you think Baker Mayfield will win a playoff game just being an average quarterback?
Absolutely the fuck not.
This is my whole point. So you already know what you got. You have to try to improve your eye on at least making a showing. They're not even making a fucking showing right now.
To be fair, I never thought he was a good quarterback. First of all, he's a Sooner, so, you know.
Well.
You know, we can say what we want about Jalen Hurts. He's not a real Sooner. He was at Bama first, like, you know what I'm saying? He might
have been. For a couple years.
But it still fuck him too, because don't think that I ain't see you throwing horns down when y'all won that game. Like, I will fight you. I don't care. All
right, we're gonna move on. We've been on this for 25 minutes. We are going to move on. All right, y'all. So I don't know if everybody remember a few years ago, the NCAA and the FBI was investigating basketball coaches for paying players, arranging for payments through Adidas. It was probably other organizations that were involved, but Adidas was the primary culprit. Some assistant coaches went down, got probation, served time. One, we cannot call him a agent. We'll call him a middleman. Actually did a little bit of time, but there were coaches caught on wiretaps. One of those coaches connected to the scandal itself. But after 4 years, 5 years of investigations, nothing happened to Kansas. And Bill Self.
Money.
Just got a brand new contract.
Money.
$53 million over 5 years.
Money.
Literally a lifetime contract.
Money.
The crown don't pay.
Money.
Real well.
Money.
FBI.
Money.
Talk Jayhawk.
Money.
We're not gonna say I get money in the FBI in the same montage. We ain't finna do that.
Everything would get caught with two keys in the trunk.
Hey, but we can say all of that, but we ain't saying I get money in the FBI in the same sentence, down the same rabbit hole. We ain't doing that.
Disclaimer then. These are all $53 million.
They got it.
For the wrong thing. I should have been a church pastor or a basketball coach.
Wow.
That dude right there.
What'd I say wrong? What did I say wrong? Rick Pitino had a contract with the school. Eddie had a separate contract with Adidas that was him. The school wasn't getting the money. The players got new outfits, new shoes, but he was getting the money. Where they do that at?
Money. That's just being a smart businessman. As Rick Pitino.
Like I said. I get money. Yeah.
I get money. That's really loud.
Man, you know what?
That's loud.
I ain't.
I'm just saying. If your name was Rick Pitino and you had that deal, would we even be having this conversation? Don't be hypocritical, sir.
Oh, I would not do that to my school. Like, I do have a little bit of integrity. I would not do that to my school.
What? I wouldn't do that to your school. I literally think I bleed orange and green. I have all my kids have gone to FAMU. My kids' kids are gonna go to FAMU. As a matter of fact, I almost want to go up there and teach a class to FAMU just to say I did it. But if I had an opportunity to get some of that Adidas money, why getting the check? Hook a brother up. I wish they might offer me. I'd be like, wait a minute. You want to use my pen or your pen? Talking about integrity for the school. Didn't them kids get free uniforms? Didn't they get shoes? They probably got some of the flyest Adidas warm-ups money can buy.
So, fans, just so you know, anybody that went to jail or ended up on probation was black. All them coaches that was caught on wiretaps, yeah, they're coaching at other schools right now.
First of all, don't be no snitch. They don't, if you don't snitch, you don't go to jail. Oh, they called me on wiretap. Yeah, I can. I did. No. No, it wasn't me. But we analyzed your voice. It wasn't me.
That's what
it is. Wiretap. Wiretap. What a video.
That wasn't me. Not only did Coach Wade say that wasn't me, when the school said, hey, we need the need for you to cooperate with the investigator, he was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Why would I do that?
What?
I'm not finna snitch on myself.
That would be the dumbest thing you could do. That look, that's why there's literally a law that prohibits people from incriminating themselves. I plead the fifth. I ain't saying shit.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's all you have. Hey. We need you to come in here and talk for what? Because we think y'all think. Well, y'all let me know when y'all know some shit, because I ain't coming in talking to now one of y'all.
I would like to invoke my Fifth Amendment right on the grounds of I don't want to self-incriminate.
I would have did a Marshawn Lynch. I'm only here so I don't get fined.
Well, how you feeling today? I'm grateful.
Highly favored in the Lord.
I'm grateful.
Can we ask you about? I'll answer questions. See, they own themselves. Oh, well, he did it. I was talking to him.
All right, you keep talking to him from jail cell, dumbass.
Fans, I only make this face out of frustration. The Lightning are in second place for me. They've scored.
They should be.
They scored 16 points. Tonight, they are currently losing. It ain't. I can't. They are losing 5-2 in the third. 6 minutes left in the third.
It ain't over yet.
It ain't over. Their trends have weak. They are at home. At home.
That's okay. We just beat a better Canadian team 2 days ago in Canada.
The inconsistency is wild. Absolutely wild. The other day they was up 3-1. 3-1. They go into overtime and lose it in the first minute in overtime. Like,
it happens.
It happens every day, B.
They need an enforcer. They need somebody to go out there and knock out.
They don't have those in NHL no more, sir.
They got some. They ain't like they used to be. They not going to like just knuckle. They still knuckling up, but they ain't knuckling up like every slight. Oh, you breathe on my top player? Knuckle up. They ain't doing that. But they got some people that's going to body check you against the boards, make you think about skating fast. That's the problem. We running around here with these fast-ass skating little young-ass dudes, fucking Bedard from Chicago. He's 15 years old. Knock his teeth out. What is we doing?
Now you're talking about child abuse.
He said, knock his teeth out. Hey, yo. He on the ground. Hey, yo, get his socks, man.
Wow.
Get his socks, man.
That's just so aggressive.
This dude got 2 goals. If y'all don't knock his young ass out, what are we doing? This ain't football. This ain't football. Ain't no rules once they get up against that board.
It is. That's how you get majors or in the penalty box. It is rules.
With that puck, you can separate him from the puck.
Oh my God.
Nah,
there's a way to do it.
I promise.
First of all, your kids might listen to this one day. They're gonna get the understanding that no matter what, peg him to the ground.
I wish we could bring in, you know, they be bringing in the words, you know, like the word with the definition, integrity, doing the right thing even when nobody is looking. We need that right there.
That's what we just said. I try to have some integrity. We was talking about getting a check from Adidas. Now he's just talking about knocking every damn body out.
Right. We need to help no folks. You know, this is supposed to be an informative podcast. We trying to empower, not enable. You know what I'm saying?
And I warn people, the reason I'm not letting my son play Little League football is if you throw chin music at ass, he is running to the mound with the baseball bat. This is that same podcast. Just so we clear.
We want to empower, not enable. Troy, stop being an enabler.
Enabler. You trying to get these folks fired.
And I will even put the Urban Dictionary version of enable is cosign on other people bullshit. Go ahead, Troy.
Y'all know it.
The disrespect segment. Here we go.
So, y'all, it's that time of year. It's that time of year where Miami fans put on their combat fatigue, and they mamas got on their combat boots, and they reminisce about the war where they were once a actual rival. And a few people will get on their little Miami Hurricane podcast, say dumb shit like Miami is better at every position than Florida State. And I, looking at Twitter, chuckle because it is funny. And I send said podcasters inbox messages saying,
did this fool just say chuckle?
That's an eyebrow.
That's disrespecting.
That is disrespectful in itself. You said chuckle to grown people.
I chuckle because it's hilarious. It's funny. It's witty. Y'all better at every position. So I say, hey, bet your eyebrow. Now, I am technically allowed to bet an eyebrow for reasons of marriage, but it's Miami, Florida State. Some rules got to be flouted. Fuck them. They can't knee their way to a victory. I got, do you see your eyebrows? You see them? See them? So, I mean, you know where I be at every Thursday night. I know y'all ain't going to respond because even your own podcast mate said that you're absolutely insane for saying that. I almost said the R word. You almost got me. But yeah. The slogan that can't knee their way to a victory. I know Marlo got something to say. I know he got something to say. We might have lost Marlo, but I just
I'm gonna say mine for next week.
You gonna say yours for next week?
Yeah, mine for next week. The disrespect segment for that is gonna be get your popcorn. That's all I got to say. Oh my God, I'm gonna get a map. Daytona Beach. And I'm going, I ain't going to give it away. Yes. The disrespect segment next week is going to be some epic stuff.
I talk about black people, right? So make sure we don't talk about black.
Talk about who?
That's all I would need to know.
You said talk about who?
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. No, you said as long as we don't talk about who.
That beach weekend. We're not.
Oh, no. We know. What? Pause. Really? What is wrong with you? I could never be in U.S. government.
Oh, thank God. It was awesome. TP, what you got?
I thought we was gonna talk about it, but there's a recent interview between Young Jeezy and Nia Long, and I think that it touched on some really deep subjects, and you know, it was some things that he was brave enough to say that kind of opened my eyes, and you know, it was like an open dialogue that turned into me and my wife talking for, I'm going to say, probably 6 to 8 hours afterwards, because there's things in our marriage that we have to work on. And I think the biggest thing that he said was about, like, being vulnerable, right? Like, I come from the hood, too. And I was desensitized at a young age to violence. I saw my uncle shoot my other uncle right in front of me in my house at the age of 9 years old. you know. So being desensitized, you don't feel the same way about the world as somebody who's been able to pretty much have an innocent childhood. You don't, you know, it's not the same. And where we come from, when you use the word vulnerability, that's translated to like war. When you're looking for how I can attack my opponent, you're looking for a vulnerability. So that's how we use that word. And as men, when we leave ourselves open for attack, i.e. vulnerability, that's giving the other person the power to be able to hurt us. And we've always been taught to protect ourselves, either by the streets or just the world telling us that a man ain't supposed to have vulnerability. You're not supposed to be soft. You're not supposed to open up and tell everybody how they can hurt you, because you're giving the power away of protecting yourself. So then we build these walls that are so high that we lack the ability to let people in. And then it doesn't look like we have empathy or the ability to feel. And just a lot of the things that he was saying, it kind of opened my eyes that maybe I have been too hard. You know, if I want my marriage to work, then I have to be able to open up and take down some of those walls and replace them with, you know, happy, you know, with happy things, with smiles, and be able to have fun and be open about things. You know, and that comes from another place of being able to heal. You know, not only did I see somebody get shot, I also had to see my father in a casket as a victim of gun violence. So that's another thing that desensitized me. So I had to grow up without a father in a world where you're told that you can't be soft. There was never any opportunity for me to even know what it's like to not be closed off. My defense mechanism has always been self-isolation. In a marriage, you can't be self-isolated, because you're sharing this, you're supposed to be sharing your life. But how can you share your life with somebody when you're isolated from them? So I really appreciate somebody that looked like me, that's been through some of the same things that I've been through, going out and saying these things, and, you know, bringing that open dialogue, you know, and pretty much just giving us a voice. So, you know, shout out to Jeezy. I really enjoyed it, and I really appreciate it for what it was.
I will add the clip, the meal on clip, to this podcast. I mean, actually, that'll probably be from the podcast tonight. I will have to add that in, because TP did touch on a lot of stuff. Like, it, once you get over the initial, hey, this is, Jeezy got a verse about that. When you listen to the actual conversation, it literally is deeper than rap. It literally makes you go, okay, well, if this man is okay with how he is in his life, let me look at how I am. And so, like I said, I'm going to add a clip. TP, you said some excellent words on it. I don't even want to mess it up. I'm going to let the fans hear what you have to say side by side with the clip. That is actually wonderful, like a wonderful speech on that actual topic. Before we get out of here, so if you have a parent that's in a nursing home or in a rehabilitation facility, it becomes very difficult when you know that person as your parent. So my mother, God bless her heart, is in a nursing home. And it is difficult for me to see her, because 70% of the time she's cool. 30% of the time, she ain't right, and it is very difficult. I have guilt that I do not have her in the home with me, so there's a lot that I have going on there. But one of the gifts that my mama gave me before she got sick was, I am a child of four children. on my biological father's side. I have two sisters. I have a brother who is deceased, and it's me. My mother made it her business to make sure I connected with my sister. And one of the things that she did before she got sick was she found my sister. And I am forever thankful to her for that. Tomorrow is my sister's birthday. And I actually get to celebrate my sister's birthday. I get to wake up, call her, and say happy birthday, which is something my mother wasn't able to do on my birthday like she used to do so many. So I am thankful in the month of November for my mother, because there are things that you don't even realize are important until it's almost too late. So for anyone that has a family member, just anybody, if there is somebody in your life, anybody, make sure you tell them you love them. Because there may be a time where you're not able to tell them you love them. So for that, I'm thankful. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to the new and improved Gathering of Old Men podcast. This is us. This is what we're going to be from now on.
I'm glad y'all asked me to get my wrap up. My wrap up was going to be different.
Are you going to do a wrap up next week? What you going to
do? I'm going to do my wrap up next week, because y'all got way too deep, and I'm not finna. What's that song? Please don't kill my vibe. But I ain't doing it, because mine was going to be different. But y'all did an excellent job. I'm glad that TP got that opportunity to have that conversation. I'm glad that you got that opportunity to meet and spend time with your sister. And, you know, life is good.
As they say, minus the bullshit, life great.
Minus the bullshit, life is great. Even with the bullshit, because bullshit will teach you appreciation.
Oh, yeah. Always.
So I take it all in stride. I take it all for what it is. And that's how I roll. I don't particularly get too up or get too down on anything. Everybody who know me know that's how I roll. So
absolutely.
Yeah. It's cool. I'm glad that I get to spend a little time with you fellas like this. You talk about man stuff, and that's real to me.
Absolutely. I think we should talk more about, you know, as men, and how the world views us. You know, when we think about it, there's two type of ways to look at the world. There's perspective and there's perception.
Yeah.
Your perception is, you know, that's unique to you. Nobody on this planet has the same perception of the world. But perspective is something that we can change, because that is the scope through which your perspective looks at. You know, through your perception, you can change your perception of the world. When you change your perspective, you may be able to look at the world and change your perception. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we should, you know, definitely, you know, dive more into that. I don't think it's said enough.
No, and it's good. I'm glad that, like, we can gain nuggets and jewels from people that look like us.
Absolutely.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot more, but, you know, it ain't publicized the way they publicize bad stuff. Like, somebody, if he was to be indicted on some kind of charge, it would be on every news channel out there. But to talk, to be vulnerable and open about his vulnerability, it's, you don't hear it. Because I didn't hear the story. So kudos to them.
You know, I tell my wife all the time, because she be on social media and she be looking at all this drama, and you know, I tell her, I say, look, controversy sells. That's why you watching, because you want to see the drama. You know, that's where the money is. Controversy sells, and it's always been that way.
And it's easy to find drama with what we deal with on a daily basis as people.
Absolutely. Like,
you don't have to look hard or far for it.
Right.
Good job to them.
Absolutely.
So, let me brought that up. Because your boy went viral. Went viral. And just take my Twitter. I went viral, and I just went viral for just being me. I'm not gonna ever be anything else but me. I thought I had made a little funny. Few people liked it, and that was it. Went to lunch, 100,000. Got back from lunch, 300,000. What is happening? Woke up 1.5. Whoa. My daughter called me, tell me, you know, the world know my dad is an idiot. Right now it's at 2.4. And
wow, that's crazy.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because I wanted to have a completely authentic podcast with authentic Black men who talk about sports. And the history, a lot of things in life can be explained through sports. It's easy to digest through sports. So this was my way of giving voice to men who you don't normally hear from. You always see the little analytical dudes. We're fans. We get a little analytical, but we're fans. And that makes us human. And I don't want to ever be in a space where I am not authentically me with authentic people. And so, again, I thank these guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
Always like and subscribe. We are on every platform, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, everywhere you consume, YouTube, everywhere you consume podcasts, we are there. Like and subscribe, share it to your friends. Clips will be out tonight. Again, thank you for joining us, everybody. Good night.